Einsteigen, aufdrehen, losfahren. Mit dem neuen Volkswagen T-Roc bist du bereit für den großen Auftritt. Selbstbewusst und voller Power. Du steigst ein? Keine Kompromisse. Nur du und der Moment. Alles passt. Dein Sound, dein Drive, dein T-Roc. Rockt. Der neue T-Roc.
Stu does America.
Won't you subscribe to us on YouTube, youtube.com/StuDoesAmerica. Be sure to hit the bell for notifications. It's free. Why wouldn't you do it? It's also not so free at StuDoesMerch.com. You're going to have to pay for almost everything up there. But if you use the code STU10, you'll get 10% off your entire order. Andrew Klavan is here to talk about the evolving gender roles of American society. Glenn Beck interviewed the President of the United States yesterday. We'll take a look at some of those highlights. But we start by doing artificial dyes. Yes, one of my favorite topics. I love artificial dyes. I'm a huge fan of anything that's a chemical. That's just me. Might not be you, but we are in an interesting time where I think for most of my life, it's been the left kind of coming after those types of things and the right being like, now let business do what they want. It's kind of switched now. And obviously RFK Jr.'s sort of at the center of that particular movement. He's been against these dyes for a long time when he was on the left. And now that he's in the Trump administration, he's continuing that movement. RFK Jr. unveils plans to phase out 8 artificial food dyes in the United States. At the news conference, FDA Commissioner Dr. Marty Makary said the agencies are looking to revoke authorization for 2 synthetic food colorings and to work with the food industry to eliminate 6 synthetic dyes used in cereal, ice cream, snacks, yogurts, and more. And there's a lot packed into that paragraph. I mean, they're going to revoke authorization for 2 of the dyes and then work with the food industry to eliminate 6 other dyes. So that's a big difference there. Obviously, as a conservative, not really liking government intervention all that much, I'm much more comfortable with working with the food industry and letting them make their choices rather than revoking authorization for particular dyes. But we should get into what this actually says. There's an article in the Washington Post says what the science says about artificial food dyes. Now, when you go through the article, it has some of the science in there, though not a particularly detailed explanation as to what the science says. I think we can go into that a little bit more in detail today. But they did encapsulate, I think, what the opponents to artificial dyes sort of talk about. For example, here it is, consumer advocacy groups. Notice that's not scientists, that's not the science, quote unquote, but consumer advocacy groups said there is sufficient evidence that the dyes may cause some harm to some children. They argue that artificial dyes are not worth the potential risk, given their lack of nutritional value. Now, there's a lot packed into that paragraph, too. And that is pretty consistent with what some of the science says on some of these topics. We'll get into it. Some harm may cause some harm to some children, which basically tells you pretty clearly. A lot of the studies show no harm. Some of the studies show a tiny bit of harm, as it's mostly associated to behavioral disorders. We'll get to that in a second, like ADHD. And then finally, it never in any of these studies does it hit all children. It's a small percentage of children that it hits, even when it shows up in studies, which is not always, and many times not to a statistically significant level. However, it is important to look at all of this. And, you know, I think the other part of the quote there, which is, it's not worth the risk given that there's no nutritional value in food dyes. And of course, that's accurate, right? Like, there is no nutritional value in red number 3 or red number 40. All they do is make your food look awesome. And, you know, that's kind of what I like to think of this when I think of this process. And, I know a lot of people who are really sensitive on dyes. Some people look at this and have really strong feelings about it. A lot of my friends and some of them on the conservative side just say, like, look, you know, I have a child and I don't like the way that it makes them feel, or, you know, whatever the situation is. As a parent, you have to be able to make those decisions for yourself. Right. Like, that is something that I think is a crucial part of liberty. You should be able to feed your kids what you want to feed your kids. So no one's saying that you should be forced to eat artificial dyes. That would be completely insane. Now, what kind of products actually contain artificial dyes soon to be banned by the FDA? Well, first of all, Mountain Dew Baja Blast is not going to look nearly as delicious. And that, to me, is a crime against humanity. But that's just me. Here are some other types of coloring that are going to get hit. Red number 40, which creates a dark red color, is used in candies, cereals, sports drinks, frosting, condiments, gelatin, jams, and more. Yellow dye number 5, a lemon yellow color, cereal, cake mixes, soft drinks, popcorn, and yogurt. Now, I know this stuff has no flavor, but I'm somehow getting hungry talking about it. I don't understand. I'm very susceptible to this stuff. Yellow dye number 6, an orange yellow dye used in candy, sauces, baked goods, preserved fruit, cheese, soups, cereals, and more. Blue dye number 1 creates a greenish blue color seen in ice cream, cereals. Blue dye number 2 also in cereal. And let me stop on the blue for a second here, because a lot of people say, like, well, why don't we just use natural food dyes? And they do exist. For example, beet juice is one of them. Blueberry juice can be used for them. There's a lot, like in certain countries, Canada being one of them, and this is a point that RFK Jr. has made many times, not always accurately, because there are not 3 ingredients in Canadian Fruit Loops. And when you hear him say that, just know he's not telling you the truth. There are 27 ingredients in Canadian Fruit Loops, just like there are 27 ingredients in American Fruit Loops. The difference is the flavoring or the coloring that they use is different. We use the artificial coloring in a lot of these products. They use the natural ones. And let me give you an example of what that does. Here are the Fruit Loops side by side, the American Fruit Loops and the Fruit Loops that you can buy in Canada. And, you know, I mentioned those 2 blue colorings for a second. Look at the blue in the Fruit Loops on the right of your screen. Delicious. Now, of course, they all taste probably almost exactly the same. But look at those blues pop. Look at those yellows and greens pop. And then you get this sort of mishmash of bad pastels, I guess, that are in the other bowl. Should that really make a difference? No. But does the other side look more awesome? Yeah, yes, it does. And I will say this. As I mentioned, you should be able to buy products that you want to buy with the ingredients you want to buy. It's not guaranteed to you as some right. You don't have a right to not have certain food dyes in your Fruit Loops. You don't have a right to Fruit Loops at all. If one company wants to make Fruit Loops and no one else wants to make Fruit Loops, and the only company that wants to make Fruit Loops makes Fruit Loops with artificial dyes, those are the Fruit Loops you have. Of course, this is not at all the circumstance we are existing in. The reality of today's world is that tons of companies make Fruit Loops without these dyes in them. Okay, let me give you a few examples of it. Trader Joe's Fruity-O's, Cascadian Farms Organic Fruitful-O's, Three Wishes Fruity Cereal, Magic Spoon Fruity Cereal, 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Fruity Rings, Catalina Crunch Fruity Cereal, Truly Fruity Cereal, and Kellogg's Eat Your Mouth Off Fruity Cereal, which is, I don't know if that's good advice or not. I will say, you will notice when you go to buy these types of cereals that don't have those artificial dyes in them, you will notice they're more expensive. And by the way, that is going to be the reality if all of this happens. They're going to use, this is the reason they don't use artificial dyes because they just love artificial dyes. They use artificial dyes because they're cheaper. They cost less money and they are able to make a higher profit margin or charge you less, right? And so that's why they use the artificial dyes. It's not because they don't like blueberries. They have blueberries in tons of their other products. It's just that, you know, like blueberries, frankly, don't make the cool electric blue that you see with the artificial dyes. And that makes it enticing for people to eat. But all these products already exist on the market. You can go buy them right now in store after store after store after store. Every Walmart and Target has Magic Spoon in it. And I like Magic Spoon. I think it's good. It is different than normal Fruit Loops. It has other things in it. You know, it's all natural. It's got protein. It's got lots of things. If you want to eat Fruit Loops that taste pretty good and they're all natural and everything, those things are all over the place. The market has addressed this concern already. But we are going to ban these things seemingly anyway, you know, and it hits all sorts of different products. I'm looking at these. I've got these particular bag right here. This is an interesting product I was not aware of until today. Sour Patch Kids Strawberry Watermelon Glow-Ups. Glow-Ups with edible confetti that glows under black light. Now, I don't know how many people are putting black light under their candy before they eat it, but if you happen to be one of those people, this will help you. And I will read the ingredients. A lot of it, you know, you think, okay, this has got to be the worst product in America for you, right? If you care about food dyes. It's got, you know, it's literally glowing. It's like eating nuclear waste. But when you go down the ingredients, you've got radish extract for color. You've got a cabbage extract for color. You got spirulina extract for color. Turmeric extract for color. I believe that's the confetti as well. Natural and artificial flavor, which is an interesting thing. We'll learn a little bit more here in a second. And finally, at the end, good old Red 40. So we got a combination in that particular product, and that's the way it is. And the worries on food dyes go to a couple different categories, one of which is the scary one, the C word, the big C, cancer. He thought I was going to say a different word. No. Cancer being kind of a big worry of this. And it's been one of those things that's been around forever, these worries about cancer. In fact, I tweeted about this a while ago because I looked at the study that influenced the banning of red number 3, which was banned, by the way, under the Biden administration. Here's what I said. I'm shocked to learn that rats can get cancer when given 65 times the maximum allowed dose of red number 3 every single day for 28 months. That's what happened in the study that led to the banning of red number 3 by the Biden administration, late in the Biden administration. Now, look, quite clearly, I think if you had 28 times the recommended daily allowance of water every single day, 65 times the recommended daily allowance of water for 28 straight months, you'd probably have some issues too. I don't know what they would be. You're probably dead, frankly. That's what the study showed. Ridiculously more than any human being actually eats is the point there. I will say, however, I did get part of that wrong, and I didn't realize that until today. So I do apologize if we do make mistakes. I want to make sure that we, of course, talk about them. Because actually that study didn't show that there was cancer. A scientist's study that led the FDA to ban red number 3 food dye, yet he says it's safe. This is his quote. And again, there was some at those crazy, crazy levels that no human would ever consume, there were some sort of polyps that were found. However, they were not cancerous, actually. This is what he says about his own study. This is the study they used to get rid of red number 3, which is already off the market. It's being taken off the market. I am surprised all this time has gone by and it's been safe for human use. And now it's being pulled from the market due to concerns not supported by the data. Our study did not find this was a carcinogen. But other than that, it's a sensible government decision as usual. Now, I happen to be the type of person who thinks the parents should be able to make those choices. I know a lot of people who buy Magic Spoon or some other brand, Trader Joe's or, you know, Whole Foods, whatever it is, that really like it. In fact, I really like some of those cereals myself, but I just think you should have the choice to take it. Now, take whatever cereal box you want off of the shelves. Now, the other big worry about these particular food dyes is their effect on ADHD, behavioral issues, ADHD being the main one. Now, it's shocking because I have a friend who is much more, I don't know, I call him granola. We bust on each other all the time. I call him granola because he is, he's big into the, you know, this sort of naturalist RFK Jr. type of stuff, and much more than I am. And it was funny because last week he was telling me that ADHD was a hoax. And then this week he's telling me that red number 40 needs to be banned because it's causing ADHD. Now, I don't think you can have both of those. One or the other you can have as an opinion. It can't have both at the same time. At least that's what I told him. And then he hung up on me. But it goes into, because unlike the cancer part of this, there is some evidence, as I noted earlier, for some kids in some studies that behavioral issues like ADHD can be affected for what amounts to a pretty short time, you know, kind of like we say like a sugar high, right? It's not like you have some red dye and you have ADHD for the next 20 years. It's more like a thing that if you have a bunch of red dye, you may have some ADHD type problems in a short period of time. Of course, they did look at this in a lot of depth and looked at all the studies available. This is what it amounted to. The evaluation of certain food additives. Oh, yes, a sexy, sexy report. Let me give you what it said in this. They basically found that there's a lot of these studies. Some studies, as I noted, did show some behavioral issues. Many didn't. What does that mean? This is their summary. In view of the lack of consistency in the data, the poor oral absorption of erythrazine, this is, by the way, red number 3, which is not even the ones we're talking about. Those are seen as less dangerous than red number 3, which has already been pulled off the market. But this one's specifically about red number 3. The evidence that erythrazine does not penetrate the blood-brain barrier and the lack of evidence of behavioral toxicity in a rat study with dose levels equivalent to up to 1,000 milligrams per kilogram of body weight per day, the committee concluded that the findings did not provide robust evidence of behavioral effects and could not be used in the risk assessment. Now, I gotta say, that's a lot of like mumbo jumbo and a lot of things you probably don't understand. Which is under, you know, makes a lot of sense because nobody thinks, first of all, no one even knows what a kilogram is. Okay. No one knows what a milligram or a kilogram is. Those are magical measurements that are not American, and only American measures matter. But when you look at that, what is 1,000 milligrams per kilogram of body weight per day? That is the equivalent of 10,000 times what is considered safe for daily human consumption. 10,000 times what is considered safe for humans was given to these rats, and they still didn't get the effects. 10,000 times. So I would, first of all, argue you probably shouldn't eat 65 times or 10,000 times the maximum daily allowance of these substances, of any substance. That's probably not a good idea. The summary at the end, the committee concluded the dietary exposures of erythrosine for all age groups do not present a safety concern. Okay. So, look, it's one thing if you have something that's blatantly obvious and you want the government to act on it. At the very best, we're talking about very small differences that are kind of sketchy in the data. And honestly, like, I don't see any worry about it at all. But I'm pretty, like, chemical friendly, as all of my friends around here will tell you. I might not be looking at this stuff the same way you will. And you might say, look, I just want something natural. And as I mentioned, there are natural alternatives to all of this. In fact, there's, you know, stuff like beet juice is out there. But beet juice is kind of on the more expensive side. You'll usually only see those in sort of the uppity brands because they are a lot more expensive. But there are other alternatives as well, is like natural red number 4. Natural red number 4 is like one of the big alternatives for a red coloring, and that's the type of thing that's going to be in a lot more of food going forward if this artificial dye thing goes through. And I thought it might be interesting to take a look at how we get natural red number 4. First of all, cochineal insects are farmed by letting them latch onto cactus pads and suck plant juices until they're bloated. And if you wanted to take a quick look at what that might look like, here we go. This is them farming these insects, which make up the natural red number 4. Now, these plump females are scraped off alive, often wriggling, using brushes or knives. And here's what these little buggers look like. Oh, aren't they adorable? Wouldn't that make your Skittles look so much better? I mean, if you just opened up and had a maybe a little box of those little insects, wouldn't that just be even more tasty than the Skittles themselves? I don't know. Maybe they would. Step 3. Then all these little bugs are killed en masse, roasted, boiled, or steamed like tiny red popcorn. The crispy corpses are ground into a gritty, deep red powder of crushed exoskeletons and dried guts. Yum, 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 yum. This bug powder is boiled in water or alcohol to extract their inner red dye. It's called carminic acid. This is carmin is what they call this service. Here's the powder of what it looks like. That doesn't look too bad, right? That's all made of bugs. So that's yummy. Now you keep going to make the red natural number 4 or natural red number 4. Resulting mixture is filtered to remove solid chunks of shell and bug bits. That's good. You don't want to have the solid, crunchy chunks of the bug bits in the coloring, so they separate those out when they can. Metal salts like aluminum are added to the insect brew to make the dye stable. You want a stable bug goo dye, of course. What's left is a thick, blood-colored goo called Carmen Lake. It is dried or bottled, still loaded with the processed insect parts, and then that goo gets up in candy, lipstick, and fruit drinks. So yeah, you're probably eating or wearing bug juice. We used to have that at camp. They used to call it bug juice, and then it would just be like Kool-Aid. Now you can really have the bug juice, and it's even that more delicious. I will say, I kind of thought our whole opposition to the Great Reset and Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum was not to eat the bugs. But apparently now we are going to eat a lot more bugs. In fact, while you may have been eating insects your entire life, from the BBC, as they pointed out all of these facts about the delicious red coloring that's made out of insects that now is going to be in foods all over the place instead of artificial dyes if all this goes through. So you might not have been eating it before, but luckily, Klaus will be very, very happy. He just got fired, so he's a little disappointed at the moment from the World Economic Forum. Had to step down, I should say. He's allegedly involved in some corrupt behavior. Had to step down. So he never really got to realize the wonderful, glorious dream of having people eat bugs. However, good news, Klaus, it might be right around the corner so that we don't have red number 40 anymore, we can have lots and lots of yummy insects. All right, guys, if making things a little spicier in the bedroom appeals to you, you're definitely going to want to try Blue Chew. This is especially with Blue Chew Max, which combines the active ingredients of Viagra and Cialis into one chewable tablet. It's fast-acting and long-lasting. And right now, you can get a whole month of it for free. Just sign up at BlueChew.com. You can consult with one of their licensed medical providers. And once you are approved, you'll receive your prescription within a couple of days. Blue Chew tablets are made right here in the USA. They are prepared and shipped directly to your door. And the best part, it's all done online. That means you don't have to make any visits to the doctor's office. You don't have to have any awkward conversations with anyone. And you don't have to wait in line at the pharmacy. Make life easier. Discover your options at BlueChew.com. And they've got a special deal going on right now. You can try the first month of Blue Chew for free when you use the promo code STEW. Just pay the $5 of shipping. That's promo code STEW at BlueChew.com. For more details and important safety information, go to BlueChew.com. We thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the show. It's BlueChew.com. The promo code is STEW. I'm joined now by Andrew Klavan, host of The Andrew Klavan Show and author of the upcoming book, The Kingdom of Cain, Finding God in the Literature of Darkness, which is releasing on May 6th, right around the corner. Get your pre-orders in right now. Andrew, thanks for coming on the show.
Good to see you, Stu.
Yeah,
how are you?
Good to see you. Yeah, let me start with this, because I feel like a lot of people who might be watching know you really well, but what they know you for is The Daily Wire. They know you for your conservative commentary.
Right.
Kind of take people back before that. Because your career kind of sets the basis, I think, a little bit for the book.
Yeah, no, it's really funny. I mean, my whole life I've been a novelist, and that's how I made my living all the time, and a screenwriter after a while. And I'm a crime writer. I write mystery stories and suspense stories. I've written a couple of trilogies and things like that, and some of them have done really well. Some of them have been made into movies by Clint Eastwood and Michael Douglas.
You know? Big ones, yeah.
Yeah, so like I only started talking as a conservative because I saw the culture going so badly. I'd lived out of the country for about 7 years, and I came back and I thought, oh my God, what the hell has happened, you know, to this country, and why are people like not more upset about 9/11, like people on television, all this. And I started talking to the only people who would listen to me who were conservatives, because I was basically a liberal, I guess, you know. And,
yeah.
And then I started making jokes about it, and that was it. You know, I writers are mostly hermits. You know, and the idea of being on camera was shocking to me.
But yeah. Well, it helps soothe the pain. The humor helps soothe the pain a little bit.
Yes.
And I think it kind of connects to what your book is about, because it also like art in general, I think, helps soothe the pain, and it helps draw out important things from tragedy and darker times. Can you kind of walk through the thesis of the book?
Yeah, you know, one of the letters I get a lot, because I'm a very outspoken Christian, and I get these letters that say, you know, you call yourself a Christian and yet you write about violence and murder and gangsters and prostitutes and all that.
Yeah.
And my feeling about this is that God is the center of reality. You know, it's like everything about reality is about God in some way. Sometimes it's things that go against God's will. You know, sometimes it's choices we make. And if you are an artist, I feel, and you tell the truth, you will be talking about God in some way. Mm-hmm. And that's why I get very frustrated when I see quote-unquote Christian films, and they always have to be family-friendly, and they always have to have happy endings, and God always has to save the day, and prayers always have to be answered. And I think, you know, if a woman believed romantic comedies, she would never find a husband.
Right, right.
You know, anybody who believes that that's what Christianity does for you is going to lose his faith when he reaches the world.
Yeah.
I want my work to reflect what I know about life, which is that it's violent, it's unfair, there's a lot of evil in the world. We live in a world that actually is run by the king of evil. You know, it's not actually God's world at this point. It's alien territory, enemy territory. And so I can only really see the God that I believe in that world. And so what I did with this book is I took three famous murders. It's really three and a half. There's really an extra one in there, but it's three famous murders. And these are murders that have inspired movies, novels, books of philosophy. They just keep coming back into people's minds. And I asked myself, what is it about these murders that fascinate artists, and what did the artists discover when they made them? Because if the artists were great, and some of them were great, like Alfred Hitchcock, Fyodor Dostoevsky, a great Russian novelist, you know, people who made real works of art, What did that say about God when they dealt with these horrible crimes? And so, you know, we're in a period when everybody's really interested in true crime. Everybody's listening to true crime podcasts and all this stuff. Yeah. And you think, like, well, why? Why are they doing that? And that's kind of what the book is about. Why are you doing it? And what are you finding in it that maybe you're not noticing? And I think it's important because I hope what it will do will... It will open the minds of Christians to look at all kinds of art and find real art and find God there.
Yeah, yeah. It's an interesting criticism of your work in that, like, the Bible itself has a lot of these same stories. You know,
I actually have a couple of times I've gotten letters that say, "I'll just stick with the Bible. Thank you very much." I think good luck with that.
That's dark. It can get dark at certain points. The book is, in a way, kind of like a how to make lemonade out of lemons book, right? Like, because you are finding stories that wind up connecting us to something really important out of that darkness. Yeah. And I do think that, like I go to Crime Con every year, the big true crime conference. Yeah. I enjoy that stuff. It's really interesting to me. But, like, at the same time, some people, I think, get sucked into the darkness and only live there and don't see the other side of that.
Right. I think two things happen. I think Christians, because if you're a Christian, you have a moral sense. If you're paying attention, right, you realize that there are certain there is a moral order to the world. You slowly begin to discover that that moral order is not in place in society as we know it. And I've seen a lot of Christians go very dark at that point and start to think, like, oh, it's the end of days. Well, maybe it is, but we have no way of knowing, you know. Or they'll say, everything's over, our country's falling apart, very pessimistic. And I think that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says you're supposed to rejoice evermore. And so you're supposed to rejoice here, now, in this violent, ugly world. So I think that there are two ways that people go wrong. One is they get sucked into the darkness. I saw that a lot. I worked in Hollywood for years, and I saw that a lot in Hollywood. I remember somebody pitched me an idea. Sometimes they would call you into a studio to look for a writer, and they would tell you their idea. And they said, "So a woman is kidnapped and tortured." And I went, "Yeah." I said, "That's the idea." I said, "I'm not writing that idea."
Wow.
Like, you know, because what they
mean. I look in that writer's basement. I think that whoever pitched you that idea, yeah, I go right to the basement just to see.
But what they recognized is that we love a story in which a woman is rescued, because that's part of what men have to do. And they not only have to rescue men from other men, they have to rescue men from their own impulses, and rescue women from their own impulses. And so those stories really speak to us. And so what they think is, well, let's get everything out except for that thrill that you feel when you see a woman in peril, and let's just do that sexual torture thing, and that'll be great, you know? And everything, that's the way things work in Hollywood. All ideas go down the drain. And so you're caught between either surrendering to the darkness or surrendering to it in the sense that your own way of life and the way of looking at life becomes dark. So you start to think that everybody is awful and everything is awful and there's no beauty in the world. And that, I think, is what art sort of accomplishes when it takes a murder and makes it into a great work. You know, when you read Macbeth, which is all about horror and murder and, you know, just absolute betrayal, it's a beautiful play. And you think, wow, you know, human life actually can be made into beauty, which makes me very hopeful about eternity. It makes me think that, like, you know, when people say, well, how can there be a God when life is so full of evil? I think, well, you know, people have made beauty out of evil. What will God make of this world that seems so evil to us, that seems dark to us? Isn't he making something beautiful out of that in eternity that we can't see yet? And that gives me a lot of faith and a lot of hope.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think there's a tendency for us to kind of feel like everything's dark and lost. I mean, I think that's kind of natural. Yes. I think everyone thinks that of their own time period, maybe. Yeah. But as you point out, people do turn back to those same sorts of stories, right? Like I think maybe there's a little bit of a comeback of maybe what used to be thought of as just masculinity, right? Like people deciding, hey, it's okay to be defensive of women. And even though I feel like the culture was moving the wrong way for a long time, do you think we're moving back towards those sort of traditional values?
I think this is an opportunity to do that.
Okay.
I think it might happen. I'm kind of optimistic, to be honest with you. Yeah, I think that, like, women are miserable. I mean, this is one of the things. Well, I give speeches in colleges, and I'll stand up and I say, look, I'm an older guy. I'm not living in your world. I just want to say that it looks to me like young women are miserable. If I'm wrong, stand up and tell me. No one's ever stood up and said, oh no, life is great for women.
Really?
Right now.
Yeah.
And look, this is a time when, you know, a woman could become president, a woman is on TV every 2 minutes as an anchor woman. You know, there's no lack of opportunities for women, except for one. It's that we don't honor the thing that women do best, which is make homes and children. This is, and this is, you know, if every woman anchor woman or woman fighter pilot or woman helicopter pilot disappeared off the face of the earth, helicopters would still get flown. You know, anchors would still be, you know, the news would still be delivered by anchors. But if every mother disappeared, we'd have a big problem. And that's actually happening right now. And so, you know, I really do think that for women to be women, men have to be men. And for men to be men, women have to be women. And I think that we've been sold this, you know, I don't know if you were following that Maryland case at the Supreme Court the other day, where they're forcing little children, 3 to 5 year old children, to listen to gay propaganda and trans propaganda. And you think, well, why are they doing that? Why is that so important to them? Why is that the hill that they want to die on? And I think it is genuinely a kind of love of death, you know, a sort of love of a sort of hatred of the world as it was meant to be, as it was created to be. And conservatives, and especially conservative men, I think, have been too slow to say, no, wait, it is a good thing that there are men and women. It is a good thing that women are women. I mean, you get guys like that creep Andrew Tate, who sits around and says, oh, you know, you can abuse women and you can use them. And I think, yeah, you can. But is that, you know, is that going to make a better world? Is that going to make you a better life? It's not. And I really feel that two generations of men have been lost to this to feminism, either by believing it or hating it, and hating women in the bargain. And I think that this new generation is different. I've just noticed that when you talk to people who are like 25 and younger, they don't feel that way. They don't feel that motherhood is something that they should put off. They don't feel that families are bad. And I'm not looking at any polls. I'm just saying from the people that I meet, they're much, much different. And a woman, you know, when I was a kid, you'd say to a woman, what do you want to do? And she'd say, well, I want to be a mom. I want to have a home, you know. Yeah. And now that's not what women say, and they're embarrassed to say it. And I think that a new generation is coming up that won't be embarrassed, and then that would be a big turnaround. And, you know, it's women who make men, and it is men who allow women to be women.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, we've lost that. They worked on it. They worked to take it away from us, and they succeeded.
Well, you pointed out, and the polling does agree with it too, that, you know, especially single, unmarried, younger single women are among the least happy of all the different groups.
Yeah, yeah.
And it seems to show up in polling over and over again. Let me ask you one more before you go, though. You talk a lot about art in the world and how it kind of connects to, you know, larger concepts, but also just to humanity in general. What is the state of art overall? Like, for everything, comedy, movies, literature. At times it feels like a TV golden age, and at other times you look at it and you're just like, gosh, we're just going down the same road over and over again.
We had a TV golden age at the turn of the century, right around 2000, and it was interesting that almost every single TV show that fit that bill, that was a golden part of the golden age, was about a bad guy. It was about The Sopranos. It was about The Shield. It was about, you know, Breaking Bad. It was about corruption, because we had outlawed manhood, so only men could be outlaws, and we wanted to see men. The question, for the last 5 years or so, the artistic scene, in my opinion, has been dead. I mean, it has been dead. The only person writing really good novels is me. No, I mean, you know, it's not that there was nothing there, but there was nothing really great. We weren't having that kind of thing where you're thinking, oh man, I really want to see what's at the movies. Nobody cares what's at the movies. You go there and you're there alone with Nicole Kidman. And so that was the low point. And I think the question that the arts are asking, because the arts ask the questions that are in all of our hearts, is how does a man become a good man and be a man? Because obviously you can't go around killing people like the guy in Breaking Bad, and that's what makes him a man. Sopranos, that's what makes him a man. And be a good person. You can't be a murderer and be a good person. So what does a good man look like? And we've been told that a good man looks like somebody who just is, you know, completely undifferentiated from his wife. And I think that that's a lie. And I think that's the question that's asked, that's being asked. That's what my novels have become about. And I think that question is going to be answered right soon. I think it's actually already starting. I've already seen some fairly good stuff coming out. And I think there'll be more soon.
Andrew Klavan, always optimistic.
Yeah.
I love it. Andrew Klavan, of course, catch him on The Andrew Klavan Show. You can also catch the book. It's The Kingdom of Cain, Finding God in the Literature of Darkness. It's out on May 6th.
Yes.
Don't miss it. Get your pre-orders in now. Andrew, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate it.
It's great to see you, Steve. Thanks.
You ever notice how everyone says buying or selling a home is exciting, but then they kind of conveniently forget to mention it's actually kind of terrifying? I mean, come on, you're talking about a massive financial decision packed with paperwork and confusion. Frankly, it's a lot to handle, and you need someone who's not just going to be looking at this as a weekend gig. You need a pro who actually enjoys navigating the chaos of the housing market. There are those people out there. They're a little crazy, but they know what they're doing, and you need someone who's going to help cut through the confusion. Actually someone who gets results. And that's why you need realestateagentsitrust.com. These agents are the best in the area. They're sharp, they're savvy, and they get the job done. So if you're ready to jump into home buying or selling, whatever you need to do, do yourself a favor. With realestateagentsitrust.com, makes a difference, a real big one. And honestly, it's a free service to you, so why not take advantage of it? It's realestateagentsitrust.com, realestateagentsitrust.com. And the name says it all. It's realestateagentsitrust.com.
Congratulations, Mr. President.
The golden age of America begins right now.
Yes!
We're allowed to actually do our job, which is go out and enforce the law.
This is the Trump effect in action. Those are the words from the New York Times.
Even 20-year-olds can't keep up with President Trump and his rigorous schedule.
His administration will ramp up drilling of oil and gas on U.S. soil.
Drill, baby, drill.
Trump pulled the U.S. out of the Paris Climate Accords, the World Health Organization.
Eliminating the Federal Department of Education.
New Department of Government Efficiency, or DOGE for short.
$10 million worth of USAID-funded meals, which went to an Al-Qaeda-linked terrorist group.
This is all fraud.
We're going to win so much, you may even get tired of winning and just say, please, please, it's too much winning.
And we are just getting started.
From the Glenn Beck program, the promo to set up Glenn's big interview with Donald Trump. He did wind up talking to him yesterday. By the time you see this, it's definitely on Blaze TV. It may already be on YouTube as well if you want to watch the full interview. Let me give you a clip of it, though. This is where Donald Trump and Glenn are talking about, you know, you look at the Democratic Party these days, who's even the leader over there?
It's crazy. And they don't know who their leaders are. They have a new one, Crockett. Have you seen Crockett? Have you ever seen her talk?
Oh,
this is going to be their leader.
I hope she's the next candidate for president.
We can hope in one way, but yeah. In another way, it's pretty demeaning.
Yeah.
It's demeaning to our country. But you don't see anybody out there.
Yeah, no, you really don't. In fact, I love the fact that Donald Trump has gone to my girl, Jasmine Crockett. Yes, she's the one, I guess. Now, they're saying AOC is still out there, but that's old news to me. Okay, AOC, that's old hat. Now, Jasmine Crockett is really the one. And I love the fact of what's going on here. Let me show you a clip of the Jimmy Kimmel program. Jimmy Kimmel, of course, the late night host, very, very liberal, invited Jasmine Crockett on to talk trash about Donald Trump. Watch.
And when you bring up the idiot known as Elon Musk.
Yeah, he's an idiot. That's a valid way of describing him. Good job.
He is not only like very sinister and has no idea of what he's doing. And people are like, oh no, he absolutely knows. Cause he's the richest man in the world. Like, yes, he knows how to hire smart people, but don't conflate that and believe that he is the genius, because he ain't. I mean, it says a lot when you literally are supposed to be the leader of the free world and you're worried about a rising sophomore in the House.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. Or you wish she was on your side.
Oh my God, this is so dumb.
He also called you low IQ. I'm sure you're aware of that. Would you be willing to take an IQ test publicly, head to head against the president of the United States?
Absolutely.
Guys. this couldn't be going any better. I got to be honest with you. This could not be going any better. I'm not going to say that we designed this in a lab. Jasmine Crockett was basically an invention in a lab to infect the Democratic Party. But this is working perfectly. First of all, let's just talk about how stupid she is. Look, you can say a lot of things about Elon Musk. I'm up and down with the guy. Like, sometimes I really like the stuff that he does. Sometimes not so much. I'm not a big fan of his global warming rhetoric, which would agree, I would guess, with every bit of Jasmine Crockett's craziness. But, you know, mostly I'm positive on Elon Musk, but not entirely. But I would never doubt his intelligence. Like, the guy can, like, I mean, have you read a book about the guy? Have you looked at him at all? He can sit here and look at a rock, a literal rocket, like a rocket scientist, and determine, you know, what parts aren't needed, which parts are. Yes, he has hired a lot of smart people. That is part, by the way, of, you know, being smart and running a business the proper way. But he does a lot of this stuff himself. He dives into it. At times, he's a little aggressive. You could say all those things about him, but you can't call him an idiot. That's just stupid. And secondly, I do not think that Donald Trump, this is why this is so perfect. Donald Trump, I guess, I don't know. He's president of the United States, and he's afraid of some rising sophomore in Congress. He's not afraid of you. He wants you to be the face of his opposition because he's smart. He sees you as the, I mean, I don't even know if I should say these things because it might ruin it. But, like, it's working so perfectly, I don't think it could turn around. The fact that this nobody who's accomplished nothing except going out and talking loudly and stupidly in front of cameras gets invited on the Jimmy Kimmel show. Like, Kimmel's so dumb, he doesn't see the play here. We are all thrilled that Jasmine Crockett is out there. The Republican Party sucks at a lot of things. We blow it all the time as conservatives. Like, we constantly screw things up. We need Jasmine Crockett to be there so that we can win. Without her, we will lose. We will screw it up somehow. But if we have AOCs and we have Jasmine Crockett's to make the other side look like absolute morons on a daily basis, that's our big chance. So, more interviews with Jasmine Crockett. More Jasmine, more, all the time, more. Please, Lord God, I beg of you. Do you ever feel like stress is a quiet intruder? It slips into your day, it disrupts your sleep, it messes with your mood, and it impacts your health. Well, here's something interesting. Over half of Americans regularly battle stress, and it's kind of sneaky, frustrating, and it adds up pretty fast. CB Distillery makes premium CBD products to help combat exactly these issues. Now, whether it's sleep stress relief or improve mood or maybe recovery after exercise, they've got you covered. Their CBD products are high quality, clean, and free of fillers and additives. Trusted by over 2 million consumers, and of course, backed by a full money-back guarantee. Right now, you can give yourself a break and try CBD from CB Distillery at 25% off your order. Just visit cbdistillery.com. Use the promo code BLAZE when you're there at cbdistillery.com. The promo code is BLAZE. Specific product availability, of course, depends on individual state regulations, but it's cbdistillery.com. The promo code is BLAZE. Blaze TV is doubling down. One place we've gathered all of the sharpest minds in the conservative sphere, voices unafraid to challenge the mainstream, people who speak truth no matter what. When you join Blaze TV, it's bigger than just shows. You're backing genuine journalism that exposes corruption. You're rejecting censorship. You're joining a community that believes freedom matters. And it's easy to join. It's just $8 a month. It's not a ton. $8 a month. It's about a quarter a day. Go to blazetv.com/stew. Use the promo code stew. You'll get $20 off your annual subscription today. blazetv.com/stew. The promo code is stew. Check it out. You can also, and look, if you don't have the $8 a month, no big deal. We'd love to see you on YouTube or on social media, wherever you can. Twitter, X, of course, we put the shows up there as well. Thanks a lot.